We're back at the Daviess County Museum on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW. This is our first ever Memories Roundtable, and we've got famous players from Daviess County High Schools from back in the 1950s. We want to thank all of our sponsors for making this broadcast possible, and we want to thank the Daviess County Museum for making it possible. A good crowd on hand Monday night as we record tonight's show. And now it's time for segment two. We'll send it back to the president of the museum, Doug Doherty.
Thank you, Dave. And before the break, we were getting ready to talk about the Illinois Owls and the Epsom Salts of teams from the 50s. And we don't have any representatives here on the panel, but I know several of you played against those teams and those players. And Jerry Osmond, I think you might have a few names you want to talk about and some remembrances and recollections of the Illinois Owls.
I remember in the earlier 50s, I see Mike Chestnut sitting out there in the crowd. His dad, Dwight Bud Chestnut, was one of the best that ever played around here, and he was a great player at Illinois. Jack Galton had played about that time, and I think Junior Courtney were the ones in the early 50s. In the middle 50s, in the era that I played, I remember Bob Woodsmall and Dale Cox and some of those guys. So,
Norman, you have any comments?
Yes.
That's a stupid question to ask Norman if he got any comments.
Well, you invited me down here, so don't blame me. I seen a guy back there that's got I know it's an Illinois Owl jacket on, and I played against him in the sectional. I think he was a sophomore at the time. Steve Phillips, would you stand up, please? I thought he played really well, and I think I told him after the game that I looked some big things out of you, so he was a very good basketball player, and I want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, Steve. Sam G.
Yes, I grew up in Illinois. We moved to Washington when I was in the fifth grade, but I went to basketball games from the time I knew what it was all about and the time I was in the first grade. But what was unique about Illinois' team at that time was that at halftime, the band would come in, just had a few members, and there was two players that would, instead of going to the dressing room, they would go up and put their capes on and play their horns in the band.
Yeah. Epsom Salts, any of you ever play in the Epsom gym? What was that gym like? I don't recall ever even seeing that gym.
I played in it as an independent status. I must clarify one thing that I really feel out of place in a way with all these gentlemen around here as players. I had three brothers that played on Viking teams during the 1950s, Brother John in 53 and 54, Brother Lee in 54, 55, and 56, and my brother Tim in 58 and 59. I went to seminary for 2 years, 54, 55. When I came back my junior year, I was running for cross country, and boy, I tell you what, I still hurt from some of those aches and pains. And about a month after the school started, we were playing a baseball game over at Lagodi, and Coach Steve Craney, about sixth inning, said, "Everybody been in the game?" I waved my hand. "No, I hadn't." He said, "Kavanaugh, I meant to tell you first day you came out, you're not eligible to play any sports this year because IHSA does not permit a person to play if you've moved from one school to another and your parents still live in the same place." So with three brothers, somebody had to stay home, go home after school, milk the cows, slop the hogs, and feed the chickens. Guess who got nominated to do that?
Well, and that's a good lead-in to our next discussion. I want to start out now with the sectional champions through the 50s. And in 1950, Lagodi Lions defeated Washington Catholic, John. I know you weren't on that team, but that was Washington Catholic was runner-up in 1950. It was 63-53. In 1951, Lagodi won the sectional once again, 58, Washington Catholic 47. 2 years in a row, Washington Catholic was the runner-up. And then in 1952, it's time for Albert Kavanaugh's session, and The Montgomery Vikings won the 1952 section, defeating the Washington Hatchets 53-52. So I'd like Albert to tell us about that team and what that meant to the town of Montgomery.
Just one more comment on the 51 sectional, that I was old enough to go to the games at that time, and that we're playing Lagodi in the semifinals. Lagodi in the semifinal game, and it was back at that time that if it was overtime, if it went to a second overtime, it was sudden death. And so I can still remember seeing Jack Butcher drive down the middle and arc in a two-pointer for Lagodi to beat Montgomery in the sectional there of 51. And, of course, Lagodi played Washington, I think, in the championship game. But in 52, it was quite a year and a lot of celebration. On the season games, Montgomery was 19-1. Their only loss, and I had a fear of this last week when we played over at Vincennes Reveille, the only game they lost that year was 48-47 to Vincennes Reveille over in their, well, small gym, but then again, we've had some small gyms up our way, too. And did play the Hatchets in the championship game that year, I believe 58-52. And then went on to play in the regional over at Vincennes, Adams, and Coliseum. And Montgomery was leading Jasper 59-58 with 4 seconds to go. And they had the ball out. They, Jasper, had the ball out at half court. And how they got 3 shots in 4 seconds. Well, that situation is still being cussed and discussed around places where people meet to cuss and discuss things.
Oh, I thought they used hourglasses back there. So they didn't really have a scoreboard, did they? Oh, calendars. You use calendars.
It was a slow finger on the clock that time.
So tell Albert, what about Steve Craney? He coached that Montgomery team in several years at Montgomery, and he later came to Washington and coached the Hatchets, a lot of their great teams of the 60s. Tell us a little bit about what you know about Steve Craney.
Well, Steve was my coach or a teacher, PE teacher, and of course supervisor in my years of high school there at Montgomery High School. And Steve, of course, was in from about 41 to 45. He was, of course, in the Second World War, one of the persons there. And then when he came back, he had been coaching before as a about the late 30s, and then it was in 46 when he came back, and he coached Montgomery teams from there to about 1959. And, you know, Steve was, I guess okay to say a name. Of course, he passed on here not too many years ago. I think he was about the last of that team of 35 to pass on. He was a very private person, didn't do a lot of kidding around or anything of that sort, but he was a very good coach, very stern individual. But he became quite a conversationalist after he retired, and I think he spent a lot of time with visiting places in Washington, Williams Drug Store here, and also over at Lagodi. So anyways, he was an outstanding individual. I'll just leave it at that, and we were very fortunate to have him there at Montgomery as a coach for all those years.
And Norman Beasley, you've got a comment?
Yes. I'm sorry, folks. I just can't help it. I didn't miss a sectional from 1950 until I graduated, right? So they talked about the Illinois people, and your dad was outstanding. Bud was outstanding. I remember that a great deal. My association with Mr. Craney, I used to love to watch him coach. And I was at a game one time, and he called timeout, and the players started coming over the bench, and he told them to stay out. And he was telling them, you know what you're doing wrong. You work among yourselves and take care of this. You ever see him do that?
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing to me. I thought all coaches done was yelled and screamed and jerked players around. But he told them to stay out and work on it yourself. He was my superintendent at Bar Reeve. And I've had a lot of good people, administrators. I've had some that I'm not very fond of. But Steve Craney is at the top of my list as far as an administrator. Thank you.
Albert, what about the rest of the Montgomery teams of the 50s? Any other players stand out, other teams stand out?
Well, for back in the 50s, a holiday tournament that was held usually at the Hatchet House, I believe, consisting of...
Each year it changed.
It changed?
It was four teams.
Yes.
And Washington, Vincennes...
Hey, Sonny, you take the mic.
...and Huntingburg. And each year... They went to different places.
Okay, I think we're talking about two different things here. Those were the big
holiday tournament.
Yeah, well, we called it the holiday tournament too. But this Plainville, Washington Catholic, Montgomery, and I think Ligoti. And might sound like bragging, but the Vikings did have some competitive teams through those years, 52, 53, 54, 55. I think we won that tournament about 3 years. In fact, I brought one of the trophies along here this evening. Just a little evidence that this we weren't making this up. It just says right on there. So anyways, and of course the 59 season, whenever we lost out in a heartbreaking way to the Hatchets in the sectional, the afternoon sectional, that was Jim Palmer hit that basket with about 3 seconds to go to sink our ship. There in literally, and then Odin, I think, took care of that night in the championship game. So, 50s, yes, good years.
Sonny Myers,
talking about the, Steve Cranny and the Montgomery team. I think the 1952 team, Hayden Gregory, had moved to Washington. And he was on the Hatchet team for the first half of the year. You could move to a relative and still play. So he played till mid-year, and then he went back to Montgomery that year and played and ended up beating us in the sectional. And Ivan Holland always asked Steve Cranny, how did you get that boy to hit the basket like you did? Because at the Hatchet House, Hayden Gregory couldn't hit anything. But as soon as he went to Montgomery, he hit everything he shot at, and they won the section.
Norman?
Yes, on Steve Cranny, I was talking to a guy this week. He'd heard that I was going to be talking some. And he said he had a story about Steve Cranny. He said one of his ball players was kind of upset at Steve Cranny, and as Steve walked away, the guy hit him in the back with the basketball. And he said, well, I thought Cranny would come back and, you know, pulverize him. But he said he just walked away very nonchalant. But he said a few days later, this kid turned his back on Steve Cranny, and he said he plowed one into his back, and he says, I consider this even.
Well, it's great stories. With time constraints, we're going to move on to 1953. Sectional was won by the Washington Hatchets by a score of 73-49 over Washington Catholic. 1954, the Hatchets again won 52-49 over that Montgomery Viking team that Albert just talked about. So, Sam G., you're next on the firing squad here. So, tell us about that 53-54 team. And, Sonny, you were on that team, too, and I know you're going to have your own segment, but feel free to jump in at any time. Sam, tell us about that team and Ivan Holland.
The 54 team, we had a relatively easy time in the sectional up until the final game when we played Montgomery. And I remember I was warming up before the game, and they had a player which was the coach's son. His name was Smith, and Smith was just a little bit overweight. He wasn't real fast or anything, and I thought, boy, I'm going to tear this guy up. But I tell you what, nobody has stayed as close to me as that guy did during that game, and we ended up winning the game by 3 points. And Charlie Murray, who was on our team, he was just a natural athlete. Like, he was like Michael Jordan. He invented shots if the situation called for it. Anyway, he hit a shot just right at the end of the game that he jumped up. His head was up there about the top of the backboard, it looked like. But he shot the ball from down here with one hand and it hit the backboard and was spinning and went in the basket. And I think time was out then, as I remember. I'd like to talk about the 52 team when Montgomery beat Washington.
Go right ahead, Sam.
Because I was visiting with my brother recently. He's 83 years old now, and we were talking about age and life and so on and so forth. And he still says one of the biggest disappointments in his whole life was the fact that they never won the sectional, because it had a really good season and everything was perfect, but Montgomery beat him by, I don't know how many, I think it was a really close game, but that was one of his biggest disappointments in life, and that says something right there.
And Sam, that 53 team, which you and Sonny, I believe, were juniors that year, you went to the Sweet 16, is that correct?
That's correct.
And that's, before class basketball, going to the Sweet 16 was a big accomplishment. Obviously, it wasn't a state title, but it is the top 16 teams in the state, one class.
Right. Well, of course, Coach Holland was our coach, and Ryan Gill was our star player. Ryan was probably about 6'3", I would imagine.
Sonny told me he was a star player on that team.
Well, he would tell you the same thing, too, that he was a star player. But he was a good player, and we had a tall player for a thing, and we were a fast-breaking team that we really worked hard on it, on jump balls many times to start the game. Jump ball, Ryan had tipped the ball to me, and I'd throw it out the side, and boom, here come the other guard down the other side, and we'd scored. And that just sort of put the opposition on their heels to start the game. So,
Sam, tell us about your college career. You got a full scholarship to Indiana University after graduating for the Hatchets, and played 4 years under Branch McCracken. And I understand that really taught you a lot. That's a big accomplishment to go from a small town to playing for Indiana University. But I believe you didn't play a lot your first 3 years, and your senior year you started, and it taught you a lot about life. Do you care to comment on that?
No, not at all. my senior year, 1958, like you said, I had played my sophomore and junior year. I played a total of 5 minutes, and I've scored 5 points. And I'd go beg the coach to just give me a chance, and why won't you give me a chance? And, well, he never really answered the question, except he just said, well, you know, Sam, I get a guy, one or two players out of Indianapolis every year, but I don't get one out of Washington, but about once every 20 years. And I said, but you always tell us in practice the best player in practice is going to play in the games, and you're not following through on it. Well, come to the start of 1958, IU lost 6 out of their first 7 games, and the first conference game was coming up against Northwestern. Archie Dees, our All-American player, was used to averaging 28 points a game, and he wasn't getting any shots because the other team was just building a zone right around Archie, and we didn't have anybody could throw the ball into him. And I'd tell Mac, I'll get the ball into Archie. Well, he didn't pay attention to me, but unbeknownst to me, Archie went to Mac and said, you better start Sam this next game, or I'm going back to Mount Carmel, Illinois, which was from his son. So Archie'd always come by the fraternity house and pick up me and a couple other players, and we'd walk over to the game, and we were walking over to the game, and Archie said, Sam, you're going to start tonight. I said, you've got to be fishing me.
Good thing I'm recording this.
Because I'd I'd already resigned myself to the fact that I was not going to be able to play. But anyway, the game started against Northwestern. I didn't start, but it wasn't 30 seconds into the game, and Mac called timeout, which he never does, and put me in the game. We won the game by about 3 points, and I think I scored 5 points. And from that point on, I played every minute of every game to the end of the season. And on the final game of the season, we played Michigan State at Michigan State for the conference title. And we tied it in 57. I didn't play any at all. I played all the time in our senior year, and we won the game at Michigan State, which is pretty hard to do. And then we went to NCAA, which I don't know, I had 32 teams in the
right.
NCAA.
Well, you certainly had a distinguished career. Just a couple highlights of Sam's career that we haven't, that he's too modest to bring up. But he was voted in 1954. He was actually voted Southern Indiana's most valuable player by the Evansville Courier and Press. And he also, and when he graduated at IU, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but I believe you were the all-time leading for percentage. You were first in free throw percentage at the time you graduated. It was like 92%.
I got a short story.
Okay, short. It has to be real short because we're getting ready to take a break. So go ahead, Sam.
I didn't even know they kept those stats, but anyway, after the season was over, they announced that I had set a new percentage record for foul shots, hit foul shots in the conference, and it was 92%. And then as the years go by, I kept slipping down on the thing, and then all at once they said it was 89%. It wasn't 92%. And I thought, well, hell, I know, so not to worry about it. But even in that 92%, we were playing at Minnesota, and I had 2 foul shots, and I always would go up and put my toe just right as close to the line as I could get, because as soon as I shot the foul shot, I was supposed to zip back, get back on defense real fast. And it's just a conditioned reflex. And so the referee at Minnesota, when I shot the first one and hit it, he blew his whistle and said my toe was over the line. It counted as an attempt, but it didn't count as going in the basket. So I never figured out what it percentage it would have been if that had counted it the way that they should have.
Well, I know Washington's really proud of you and your accomplishments. And with that, Sam, we're going to take a break, and we'll get started again after the break.